As I look around at all of your God-filled faces this morning, I have to wonder if any of you are tired. Do any of you have achy bones this morning? And who among us found it hard to get out of the bed with the weather and come to church? Maybe nobody in here knows what keeps you up at night when you lay in bed sleepless and worry throughout the night. And maybe you make the most of this restless time by getting up and reading or watching TV or getting a late night snack or maybe even praying. And right now, I have two of my really close friends who are trying to navigate their last year of seminary while also caring for a new 3-month-old baby. And I asked, how in the world is the baby sleeping and if they are sleeping? And my friend told me that the baby cries almost every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, as most newborn babies do. But as a new mom, she found that this 3 a.m. crying time when she was awake actually has become a fairly sacred time for her to be alone, not only with her baby, but also with God. She said that at 3 a.m. when their baby cries out for food and maybe even a diaper change, that the exhaustion that is in her body is met by the tangible love of God that gives her soul the rest that she needs. Because she knows that God will meet her in those wee hours of the night when the rest of the world seems to be asleep. And I myself am not a mother of earthly children yet, but this past week, I believe I have maybe experienced a glimpse of that sleeplessness. As over just a week ago, I brought a new furry companion, a golden retriever, a 9-week-old golden retriever puppy into my life. A sweet companion who came to me severely underweight and malnourished, covered in dead fleas and all of the other terrible things that a new dog owner does not hope for and does not expect. And I stayed up at night worrying about his healing process, and each night I anxiously wait for the moment when he is going to cry to need to go to the bathroom. And in those bouts of sleeplessness, I have found some sort of unexplainable comfort and stillness. And while I have not been excited about this sleeplessness, I am beginning to wonder if I too could maybe commune with God, the God who knows me intimately in those wee hours of the night, taking my own time to be unashamed to cry out at any hour, knowing that God is listening. And at the beginning of the parable in Luke's gospel, we hear that Jesus tells the disciples and others that they are to pray always and to not lose heart. And if we remember what we have learned throughout Luke's gospel, it is that the disciples have all sorts of questions. Like, how are we supposed to treat these people who are doing these terrible things to us? Or how are we supposed to know when the kingdom of God is going to come on this earth? And I'm sure there's a lot of more questions that are in their minds or going on in the small talk with the Pharisees and all of the common folk, because they're all just trying to figure out who Jesus is. But Jesus, unfortunately, never answers any of their questions directly. He goes off, as he does in chapter 18, giving these people more parables or confusing word problems that they're supposed to try and figure out. And if I was one of the disciples, I can imagine I would have been pretty frustrated by Jesus' lack of black and white answers. But throughout the gospel, we see that it is the unashamed and even reckless faith that Jesus says makes people well. Faith that only has to be the size of a mustard seed. Faith that clings to God's goodness even in the midst of despair and doubt and sleeplessness. It is the faith that we carry with us in our bodies and the bags that are under our eyes in our aching legs, and in our bleeding hearts. This faith we carry encourages us never to lose heart, never to forget that we are loved by a God who is attentive to our cries for help and our shouts for joy, a God who is not indifferent towards us like the unjust judge is to the weeping widow. The judge in this parable is said to have no respect for God or for people. He has become hardened and perhaps indifferent towards anything outside of his own needs. And should this not frustrate us? I mean, come on. A judge should be one who is constantly striving to serve justice. Don't we hope that the judges in our own legal system will be able to see all angles of the story and feel compassionately driven to make a just decision for those who are crying out just as the widow was? Or maybe, just maybe, we have often acted like this legalistic judge. Have we seen or heard the cries of our neighbors? And have we seen those cries to be an annoyance? Or have we tried to tune out the cries of those who have been treated unjustly? Because maybe listening to those cries and acting accordingly would mean that we have to lose something. Because the justice of God requires that we give of ourselves and loving service to our neighbors and back to God. And it's interesting to me in this parable that Jesus does not tell us exactly what this woman is asking the judge justice for. Why is she seeking justice? And for whom? Is it for herself? Maybe her husband was killed. Maybe she had a child that she was raising by herself at home. We do not know. But we, as readers and believers, are invited to maybe show her some justice in this story by trying to imagine what she is crying out for and imagine what we are crying out for to God. What cries are the judges and those around her ignoring? Cries that may go unheard by the world, but are not unheard by God. And for a while, the judge continues to ignore the woman's request. I can just imagine that she maybe is coming to him day and night to a place where he sits on a high throne, and every day she probably comes sitting and begging at his feet for some sort of action to take place, for him to even just listen to her. And she probably longed for some sort of authoritative attention. And I wonder if she came at all hours of the day and night too, insistently protesting and hoping to be taken seriously. Day after day, she acts in this way, disrupting the order of the court officials, cutting other people in line, and finally, the judge does something. He finally grants her the justice that she has hoped for. But he does not grant her this justice out of a transformation of his heart, but grants her justice because he is simply tired of having to hear her complain and see her bow down at his feet. And maybe he grants her justice to protect himself from having to come to terms with all of the other cries of the earth that long for justice. Maybe he didn't want to confront the voices of all God's children that were longing for refuge from the hands of their enemies. The truth is, though, we don't know why the judge grants the widowed woman justice. And we may be confused as to why Jesus, the Lord, tells us and the people to listen to what the unjust judge says. For is God not more merciful and ready to listen than any unjust judge? And will not God grant justice to those who cry out day and night, planting new seeds for Israel and for us today? Is God not there in our sleepless nights when we are crying out for answers, crying out for rest, crying out for hope and relief? And maybe all we have in those nights is that mustard seed-sized faith that reminds us that God has not fallen asleep and God has not tuned out our cries. God is our comforter who is keeping watch over us when we sit in the stillness of the night. God is our healer who gives relief to aching bones and relief at the aching bedsides. It is God who moves beyond the logic of this world and reaches out and touches us, helps us, and heals us. Us who are desperately reaching out to be loved. It is this parable that reminds us that it is not really about the justness of the unjust judge, but it is the unfailing prayer life and demands of the hopeful widow. She teaches us that we are not only permitted to have doubts and struggles, but we are boldly invited to be present in those doubts with God, before a God who is always willing to listen. We are not a bother to God. How could we be? If we remember that scripture reminds us of God making us in the likeness of the divine, how could God be bothered by us? Our questions and frustrations are not a threat to God. How could they be when we see a Jesus who prompted those who were following him to ask questions and to see beyond the black and the white? Jesus has simply asked those who are following him to have a sliver of faith that reminds us that all of our celebrations and all of our heartbreaks will be met by a God who is abounding in steadfast love. To us, that God has opened up the fullness of love. To us, God has opened up attentive ears. To us, God has provided a warm blanket where we can feel comforted in the late hours of the night. We are never in a place where we cannot cry out for that love to reach us, to seek us, know us, and hear us wherever we may be. Would you all pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you that you are just. We thank you that you are just even when the powers in our world are not. And we thank you that even here and now you are listening and that your spirit is reaching out to us. God, we ask that you would enliven us. You would make us on fire for you to reach back out to you, to cry out and to know that we do not go unheard. Amen.